A warning. This podcast contains some f***ing bad language.
Like King Charles struggling with his ink pens.
Oh God, I hate
your stories. True stories. Your fuck-ups. Jim Cawthorne presents The Fuck-Up Files.
Yes, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, depending on the time that you are tuned into this podcast right now. My name is Jim Cawthorne, and we are back to showcase the hurdles that we stumble and fall through in this wonderful and crazy and fucked up lives of ours that we all live, aka your fuck-ups. This is season two of the Fuck-Up Files. I'm just going to turn this down right there. I'm going to turn that off, actually. Season two, and by Jesus, it is good to be back behind the microphone, especially with my first guest. You'll know her fronting the Edge Drive show and pretty much every other show on TV, and of course her podcast as well, the trainee sexologist with Morgan Penn. The amazing Sharon Casey joins me.
Hey! I didn't know I was your first guest.
You are. You're guest number one.
This has never happened to me before, Jim. It is an honour and a pleasure.
Do you know what I have to say as well? Just doing a bit of prep for this. Did you know, just going back to the trainee sexologist,
yeah,
you've got an IMDb page for that?
I had absolutely no idea about that. What does the IMDb have on there?
Well, I mean, I would have thought internet movie database is all just about movies, but it's got like, you've literally got a page about your podcast.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. Does it say like things we're in and not into on there? Like, does it say Sharon Casey is the pretty one, not into butt stuff, but will ask lots of questions about it?
Hang on. There's a thing about rating.
Excuse me. You can't just rate it a one, Jim.
No, I wasn't going to. My mouse just fell. Hang on. What do you rate the trainee sexologist? Give it a 10 so I can move on from that there. Basically, it's got, oh, for fuck's sake, what's come up here now? Hang on.
Oh, now you've got to sign in. Do you remember your IMDb password?
No, I don't. What does it say? It basically
says nothing.
Oh, the Weekly Chronicles of Morgan Penn, now a trained somatic sexologist. Mm-hmm. Nothing secret between her and her. Oh, fuck off with your rating thing. Mm. World's most supportive friend ever, Sharon Casey. And you've got your own IMDb page.
Do I? I didn't know that. I knew I had a Wikipedia page. I have no idea who does that, but. Oh, there I am.
You are. You got your own IMDb.
Oh, God. They even got that one time I was on John and Ben on there. Career highlight. Oh, it does.
One ep. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, one ep.
What about even Morgan's got her own? It does, she does too.
What is it? Star Portraits with Rolf Harris. Is she even... What is it even is that?
I don't know. That's under Morgan's credits. The Trainee Sexologist and Star Portraits with Rolf Harris.
Wasn't Rolf Harris a bit...
Yeah, he's a...
He's a rapey guy, isn't he?
I don't think
that she was actually on that. I don't think she was on that.
He's an old school... He was the old school kids entertainer that's now been... Let's just say the Me Too movement caught up with him pretty quick.
He's a bit fiddly, yeah. Yes. I don't think Morgan would associate with Rolf Harris. I'll have to let her know about that.
Not back in 2005. That's what it says there. Masked Singer back for 2023 as well. Might as well talk about TV while we're here.
Like, I don't know, Jim. I don't know.
Can I just be honest with you?
I heard that it wasn't, and then I heard that it was, and then I heard it wasn't again. So I don't know. They just like ring me and be like, hey, do you want to do it or do you not want to do it? But yeah, at this stage, I'm not doing any TV this year.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So just see whatever falls on your lap.
Yeah.
Can I look, with The Masked Singer,
yeah,
I'll be honest, like reality TV is not really my jam. Right?
Yeah.
But this is actually one show, and I'm not just saying this because you're here. I've become quite an addict. Like it's actually quite... It's
weirdly addictive. Like,
it's quite cleverly done to be addictive, you know what I mean? Because obviously the whole time you're just trying to work out who the fuck these people are, you know?
Yeah, which was really hard this season because there was one person that I was absolutely convinced was the cricketer Dion Nash. And I like went deep and they thankfully edited it. But I was like, you know, and then there's like this, I think this clue is pointing to that time that he got caught smoking weed on tour, like bringing up his drug scandal and things like that. And like stalking his child.
Was it Paul Ego?
No, it was Ronnie Clark.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was not. It couldn't have been further from Dion Nash. But Dion Nash is probably like, hey, bitch, I'm just trying to like advertise some skincare and you're just up here pulling out all my dirty laundry. So that was quite embarrassing. But like, you would be amazing on that show. Like, Guy Williams was on it. Terrible singer.
Yeah, but you could work out it was him, though.
So entertaining. Yeah. I knew it was Guy the moment before he even, like, did anything. He just walked. I was like, there's Guy. But, do you agree with me that the person that came up with that show must have been high as fuck?
Oh, 100%.
Like, that is definitely one of those shows where you're, like, sitting around with your friends and you're all wasted and you're like, you know what we should do? We should get these singers, like, dress up. And everyone is like, yes. They're in these really fucked up costumes.
They are pretty fucked up questions. I mean, not that I want to shit on the show, but hello, Rachel. Just somebody walked in, ignore us. Some of the ideas, like, I can't even remember some of the characters right now.
There was, like, the steak and cheese pie.
Yeah, the steak. Yeah, that was the one I was just like,
there
what?
There was the praying mantis, which was Paul Ego.
Yeah.
But he was, like, a road worker wearing a high viz. Yeah. That was, like, a bizarre thing. But the costumes are they're so intricate and quite amazing. Like, the lady that makes them does such a great job.
Do you actually – so you're completely hidden from who the contestants are. So you, when you're there, is there ever a chance you're walking past a contestant that's –
No, they have a minder. So on the first season, Reece Darby and I both wanted to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
And so we're like, oh, we're going to go to the toilet. And we didn't think we'd tell anyone. All of a sudden, all these people were like, stop! And they had to shut down. Like, they had to hide all the people. They had to, like, shut down this particular part of the set. We had to go to the special toilet. And they get hustled in and out in nondescript cars. And they're all, like, they look like they're about to go rob a bank. Like, they're completely covered in, like, black hoodies and things like that. And we're not allowed to go anywhere that they are.
So you don't have any inkling at all? Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, you must be like, I'm sure I saw, like, Paul Ego walking around today.
So there was a celebrity... the celebrities don't even know who each other is. So they get kept in separate things. So everything is so secret. And then,
so nobody knows who anyone is apart from...
that person, yeah.
Oh, what the fuck? Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty wild. I remember, like, I think I saw Orani Clark. Oh, no, was it him? No, I saw somebody that I was like, I'm sure I know that person in the lift, and they kind of were like, went the other way, and I was like, I feel like that was a person.
Yeah.
But there was a really funny one when we thought that the sheepdog or someone, I can't remember what character it was.
Yeah, sheep was Jason Gunn.
No, that was Mikey Havoc.
Yeah, but I remember online, I was positive it was Jason Gunn as well.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was who? I can't remember what character it was. We thought it was like Joseph Parker or something.
Yeah.
And there was someone sitting up the back of the theatre watching Bedazzled Unicorn, which turned out to be Holly Smith.
Yeah.
And we were like, holy crap, they're blowing out. And it was someone we couldn't work out. Like, that's them. And they were in like a Sky City robe and they had their face covered. And we were like, oh my God, it's him. We were trying to figure out who it was. Then we found out that it wasn't anyone. It was Taika Waititi. And he had snuck in to watch Holly Smith perform as the unicorn because they're really good friends. And he just didn't want anyone to, like, recognize him.
Oh my
so they
God.
Dressed him up. And then once we started looking, being like, that's him, like, that's him, we saw him, like, blah, 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 they snuck him out again. But he'd literally come in and we were that far gone that we believed that it was. But then, we found out it was actually just Taika.
Oh, my God.
Crazy, eh?
Even that's a bit of a mindfuck. So they're just literally...
Yeah,
was it done deliberately, do you think, to sort of put you guys off? Or?
No, he just didn't want anyone to see him there because it would have been, like, distracting for the audience and things like that to be like, why is Taika Waititi here?
Oh, of course, yeah.
But we were also, when they were like, it's Taika, we were like, Taika's definitely not on the show. Like, we do not have budget for Taika Waititi on Masked Singer. But, yeah, he was just sitting up the back, apparently.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, so wild.
Wow, I didn't realise it was, like, just so
it's hard
hidden
out.
Like that, eh?
Yeah. It's real hard out. And then I remember Reece and I went to make a cup of tea the first season and they shut us in this room while they brought somebody back past.
Right.
Yeah, because they didn't want us to see them or anything. We're like, guys, he's like a really good actor. I can act like if we see someone, but it was that secretive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. Well, there's more credit for the Masked Singer. I kind of thought you might have just, I mean, I knew you guys wouldn't have known, but I might have thought you might have had an inkling and just sort of.
Sometimes you have it. Inkling. So, like, first season, I was really hardcore. And, like, the first episode, I guessed, my first two guesses, I guessed them right. And the producer came over and they're like, Sharon, it's going to be a really short season if you just guess everyone the first go. And I was like, oh, okay, my bad. My bad. I'll try and be a little less shit at this game.
Yeah.
A little more shit at this game. Okay.
I'm a little bit nervous about telling this.
Why?
Well, because I know that Daniella wouldn't want me to tell it because it's nothing sort of embarrassing for her. It's more to do, it's a parenting fuck.
Oh, God. Okay, well, I can probably jump on this and make you feel better about
it.
So you tell me your parenting fuck.
All right.
Up. Unless you dropped one of them out the window.
No, nothing. No,
I haven't done anything that bad.
No, nothing like that.
Okay.
I'm even just envisioning her parents listening into this right now because they don't know about this situation. But however...
Uh-oh.
So recently... Is there somebody walking in?
No, I think it's the desk.
Is it?
I think it's the desk or it's my elbow. Something's...
I really felt like a door was open. Anyway.
Anyway.
Anyway, recently we've moved to Pukekohe, right?
Yes.
Well, I think probably about a year or so, maybe nearly 2 years ago,
If you're going to tell the story, I would like an exact date that you moved to Pukekohe.
It was just before the lockdown in 2021.
Okay, all right, I'm visualising it.
I mean, it's July, August?
Yeah, no, I don't really know.
Yeah, last 2 years have just been fucking shambles, haven't they? Let's be honest. So we moved to Pukekohe, and I love it. I fucking love it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so far away, but like even if you go, if you take one route to where we live, you can go the back road in. You go past a sign that says "Welcome to Waikato."
Oh wow! So you're really out there.
We're just teetering on the borderline, I guess.
That's good though. Like you can say you're from Hamilton, but you're not really.
I'm still paying Auckland rates though, but that's anyway. Despite of that, love the place, love the neighbourhood. The girls have got my two wee girls have got a wee street gang, and it's real community vibe. And everyone's fucking awesome. And now they've also started preschool out there, right?
Yes.
Now. So we're out there. I think they did maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks at this particular preschool, and then we went into lockdown for about five weeks.
God, that was the longest 5 weeks of any parent's life.
I actually rated the second lockdown.
Did you?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the one that went for like 4 months?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, I mean, it was 4 months. We were in level three for longer than level four.
Yeah, I was fine with, sometimes I just got tired and like hoped for a week of level three, if I'm honest, where I'm like stuck in my house but can still get McDonald's on a Friday.
But hang on, would you guys still have been on air in level four or no?
Yes, yeah.
So how'd you do it?
We just go into the studio where we're in like a weird studio bubbles.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was so, just,
but would you guys be like, you, Dan, and Jaden, would you have been like 2 metres apart, or would you have to be?
Yeah, we'd have to like, yeah, we'd be like masks on outside the studio. In the studio, every mic slot got disinfected after every show.
Wow.
You'd have to be distanced from each other, which was really hard because we liked pre-show orgies, so there was no orgies during that time. And so then, yeah, it was just kind of like you were distant from each other. But it was actually really fucked for a lot of announcers, like mental health, because we, like, as you know, like you thrive off other people's energy, and like if you're doing something in the show, you always like look out to see if anyone in the office is laughing or whatever. So we only really had each other.
Oh, of course, because there would have been no one in the office. Eh?
Nah. Yeah. So like you came out of it, and like not even joking, like a lot of it, and it's not like a poor me. Like a lot of people had a shitty time, but for like we're all these like big, you know, alpha personality, you know, whatever. A lot of us all came out fucking medicated at the end of it because we were all so, and especially when it was just Auckland in lockdown, because you had to do a show for the whole country and still deliver the same amount of like ideas and things as if you weren't in lockdown, but you weren't actually doing anything but trying to survive. So it was like, it was a mind fuck. Like
quite deflating, eh?
And so like quite a lot of us came out of it with like really bad anxiety, and like I ended up on medication, a few others as well. And it was just, and I think people are still kind of recovering from it.
Jeez, here's me saying I loved it.
No, but you know, I loved it on the weekends. I hated it during the week, but I loved it during the weekend.
Well, I think I love this one because we just moved into this house and we had things to do, you know, and we had that time to be able to do what we needed to around the place.
Yeah.
Also, the first time was we stayed at the in-laws, and I think by the end 3 weeks, we're just like, fuck, everyone just get out of here.
Yeah.
So, 5 weeks in this lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was time to, during this lockdown, the preschool that the girls were going to, they sold. It sold to another outfit.
No.
I know. Now, this outfit, look, I don't want to environmentally be an environmentalist snub, but they're a bit hippy-dippy green.
Right, okay.
You know, it's like they're trying to save the planet one classroom at a time. Okay. And, just like, and it was a lot more expensive. So we're like, that was
so
amazing.
So in what way? Like, what were they doing?
Well, like,
they're making the kids eat vegetables instead of like,
I know that like the food stuff, they're real particular with what food they could bring in, and what was another? I mean, the fees were way more expensive because the activities and things they were doing was like organic toys and stuff they were playing with, you know, and it just seemed a bit over the top.
Yeah.
Again, not snubbing what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Just a bit pricey. Anyway, so, but that, their old preschool, all those teachers, they moved to another place. So they said, come to this. It's in this new location. So Danielle had organised this, and they started a new place. I think they were there for a week. And then the second week, this is just coming out of lockdown, it was my turn to drop the girls off to preschool.
Oh.
because of work and whatnot, and obviously Daniela couldn't do it, so it was my turn. That was fine. Now, leading up to this as well, Sophia had been, because Sophia's four. She's same age as Tyson, yeah.
Yes, yeah,
about 2-3 weeks apart, yeah, I think, yeah. And your wee boy. Sophia's four, Indy's three. Now, Sophia was, even leading up during lockdown, was like, I don't want to go to preschool. I don't want to, because there's new preschool, you know. And I don't want to go there, and I'm scared. And we're like, you'll be fine. Don't worry, love. You'll be fine. Everything will be fine. And so Daniela was, because she's obviously listed down instructions about where this preschool was and where you've got to be dropped off.
Oh,
and
no.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously, and Sophia, and she's like, just assure Sophia that it's going to be fine, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, okay, don't worry, I've got this down. Now, this particular morning was quite a stressful one.
Drop-off is stressful. Well, it's hard.
It is, but I think also it was my first one, and I really underestimated how long it would take.
Yeah.
Like, my girls now, they... I'm sure it must be the same for Tyson, but they want to be independent and do things.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just a fucking shambles.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
Like spreading toast?
Oh, no, no, I don't let him do that. He tries, and I'm like, I distract him. Like, you can watch TV while I do this.
No, no. So while I try that, like, my girls lose their shit. And they're like, nah! And
it's like, okay, God.
You're just trying to watch them just...
Yeah, that's the hardest thing with kids, is being like... Fucking hell. Just put like, the fucking zip in the zip.
No! But a job that...
Infuriating.
A job that just would seem so easy. Just, you know, just trying to spread jam on toast.
Yes.
And just, they rip the whole toast up. It was a very stressful morning.
Mm-hmm.
These are all the many factors that are upon us. But we finally got there. Finally got the girls in the car. We get in there. We pull into the building. Yeah, we pull into the building. And then Sophia looks up and says, I don't want to go in there. I'm like, come on. You can do it. Grab your bag. You'll be fine. Let's just go in, girls. Grab this stuff and we go, because I was starting to run late.
Yeah.
And I go in, I'm like, off you go. Hello, good morning. Here's Sophia and Indy. Hello, there's your friends. Off you go. Shoot. Goodbye. See you, girls. And off I go. An hour later.
I've got a really bad feeling of where the story is going.
An hour later, I get a phone call from, well, a very frantic phone call, because I didn't pick it up the first time. So she's dialing over and over again. Daniela, my wife. And I answer. She goes, where's the girls? Where are the girls? I said, preschool. I dropped them off to preschool. No, they're not. Where are the girls? What the fuck do you want me? I took them to preschool. I dropped them there. I said goodbye to them. She says, no, they're not there. Did you sign in? Oh, no, I didn't sign in. You've got to sign in.
Yeah, it's important. You've got to sign in.
It's very important. How can you not sign in? And I thought, well, hang on a minute. They know who they are. Even if I've signed in, they'll know that they're
true,
there.
True, yeah.
I said, well, that shouldn't matter. What's the issue? Danielle's going, hang on, wait a minute. She stops. She goes, what was the colour of the building?
Oh, no, Jim.
Please tell me it wasn't purple. It was purple building. Now, I will admit, this is something that I was sort of...
I had a feeling this is where this was going to go, and I was so nervous for you, and I cannot believe we're here.
I'm a little bit surprised that the purple building was a part of the instructions. Anyway, I'm not throwing the blame to Daniela, but... Turns out that there's another building, another preschool on the same street that's purple. And so I dropped the girls off to a complete different preschool.
Wait, so it wasn't even the old preschool?
No.
It was a preschool they'd never been to before?
Never been.
So how did they figure out, like, how did the teachers not go, hey, I've never seen these kids before?
Well, I don't know, but in that time of talking to Danielle on the phone, the two preschools must have realised this. And then got in contact, and then the girls were in. One of the teachers walked up the road and picked up the other and brought them down. But my thing is, who the fuck builds two preschools on the same street?
Well, I don't know if that's the issue here, Jim. I think the issue here is that you dropped your kids off at the wrong preschool and you didn't read the instructions.
Well, I know.
That is terrifying.
I know.
But also, like, how blasé is that, like, kindergarten that is like, oh, yeah, another couple of fucking kids to look after today? And they're like, hang on a second. Like, how it took them an hour to be like... Hang on a tick. I don't know who the hell these kids are. Like, where are these kids come from?
No. But also, like, little things like, sort of, like, even think about their bewildered little faces when I walked them in. Like, they would have been going, this isn't the right.
Far out.
And the fact that Sophia was going, I don't want to go in here, was because we're at the wrong
place.
Preschool.
Oh, my gosh.
Adelson, okay. Sharon. Anyway, Sharon, what is your yarn for us?
Well, so... Oh, I mean, there could be many, but I think the most infamous one is, well, okay, I'll give you two options because they're not long, so you choose which one.
Why don't we tell both?
Okay, all right, I'll
just
tell both.
Looking at the time. Yeah, tell both.
Okay, so one of the worst incidents I ever had with our big boss, Leon, at work, he was my immediate boss at the Edge years ago, and him and I, we have a bit of banter. And he'd just been away. And he'd come back and we were having some banter about music. So I was like music director and days and blah, blah at the time.
Were you a music director as well?
Yeah. So I was like content producer / sports newsreader for The Breakfast Show, 12 till 3 and music director.
Jeez, I didn't know
they
that.
Get their money's worth, babes.
Bloody,
money's worth.
I thought you just did your on here. I didn't know you had talents to
you. Yeah, no, so I did programming and I did promos before that as well. Wow. Yeah.
What year did you start? Did you start at the edge? Is that
No, been... I did so I've been with the company for 17 years, 18 next year. And I started in the Wired Upper at More FM there doing like breakfast co host and then I was like promos for Radio Live, More FM, and Solid Gold at the time. Yeah. But, so I was like working with him and we were having some banter. And you know how you can like sometimes get into a classic, like, you know, oh, your face sucks and like your mum this or whatever. And I was like, yeah, well, your mum hates you. And like all of a sudden the banter just like absolutely stopped. Because I can't remember what he said. He was like, your face hates you. And I was like, well, your mum hates you. And then he just looked at me.
Did everyone just stop?
Well, it was like me, my friend Clint at the time and Leon. And Leon just like stared at me and he was like, okay, thanks. And like went back to his computer. And then I was like, oh my God, Leon, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh my God, I didn't even mean it. He's like, it's fine. I was like, no, I didn't mean to say that. I was just doing the bad. I'm so sorry. And he was having his first day back at work after his mum's funeral.
Oh no.
So it was a bad.
Oh shit.
Yeah. It was a bad time.
Did you know that at all before?
Yeah. It's about, So I knew. He'd been off work for like a week or so and it was his first day back. He'd been at work for about 2 hours and here I am.
Your mum hates you.
Your mum hates you.
And my condolences, by the way.
I can like see his face right now. I don't know if he remembers it, but I can see his face. His face was just like... I was like, oh! And I just remember my just being like, no, like... I didn't mean that. Like, she would have loved you. You were a great person. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. That's not what I meant. He's like, it's fine. It's fine. It's like, I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. And I just walked out. And Clint's face was just like, oh, my God. This is the best thing I've ever seen. It was so fabulous. But that's just me. Like, I am, like, your classic foot and mouth all the time. But my other fuck up was, so I had I had plugged away at Tally, like, doing 4 Live, which was like C4 Select. It was like an after school music videos, pop culture kind of show.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And I'd been trying so hard to like get on 3, like get off 4, get on 3, get on like a primetime show. But at that time, I feel like the only women on TV were like teeny tiny, super hot, usually blonde. Mm. And that was definitely not me.
Well, how long ago are we talking with us?
Oh, would have been 2014.
It's not even that long ago.
Yeah. Well, there was like that time where like, you know, TV, it was like a thing where on TVNZ, like one, like every single person was like white and blonde.
That's the
cool thing now. It was like there's so much more diversity like within, you know, TV presenters and things like that.
Isn't that scary or sad to think that, you know?
It's fucked.
Yeah, we've only just changed. This doesn't even feel that long ago.
I know.
Wow.
It's crazy. And then so Kanoa, who's now on Project, her and I were both on 4 Live and we were both each other's cheerleaders. Like, one day we're gonna do it. Like, I remember both of us were like outside the music awards and I was smoking a durry. I can't remember if Kanoa was. Yeah. I don't want to like defame her. But we were like outside and we were both a little bit hammered and we were like, one day we're going to get our big break and we're going to host the music awards and we're going to get our job, blah, blah. Now, when both of us have host music awards, we're like, remember that time when we never thought it would happen?
Sure.
So I'd finally got my first Tally job on 3 and it was hosting Dancing with the Stars.
Mm.
I was so nervous because I was, you know, I'd never done a show like that before. I'd only like done shows where I could be myself, say what I wanted, and it wasn't, you know, that structured and stuff. And I was working with Dominic Bowden, who was like, you know, on every TV show at the time and like quite an alpha personality, which I am as well, but I'm also like an extroverted introvert.
So you see, on the same. So yeah. when you're around other extroverts, you sort of become an introvert?
Yes, yeah. See, like if somebody, get like that, yeah. And I think also in that time, it was very much like, it felt very, well, in that particular season, it felt very much like I just kind of had to stand there and smile kind of vibes. Right. Which, like, I think it's just because he was, like, a really established presenter and I was this new girl. Anyway, so we're a few episodes in. I still don't really know Dom at all. Like, we've seen each other in the corridors or whatever. We do the show. I'm just, like, trying to earn his respect to be like, I promise I'm really good at this and this is why they gave me the job. Yeah. And we get to the end of the show and where we get to this part where we're supposed to be like, and your votes will still count. But it's all in the auto cue. But
right.
Someone had changed the script on the auto cue slightly. So what I had remembered of how I said it had changed. And I was like, oh, God, that's different. And at this point in my career, I didn't realize that I could ad lib on the auto cue. So I had to say exactly what it was.
Right.
So instead of saying, so make sure you get your votes in for next week, I was now going to be saying, so your votes will still count. But because that wasn't what I thought I was going to say, I instead said, your votes will still cunt.
Oh, Jesus.
And then
Christ.
I like was looking straight at the camera and you can see, I was trying to find the video for you. I'm going to keep trying to find it. But so I'm like, your votes will still cunt and count. And then I just remember seeing Chang, who was my producer at the time. He was in the crowd and he like stood up and just pointed, was like, ah! I was like, you definitely deserve cunt. And he was like in the crowd. And I reckon that he was like, he got it off. Like Chang was the person that put it on the internet, supportive friend. And I just remember being like, oh my God, like freaking out. I was like, I'm going to get fired.
Wait, so did you literally say, cunt, count?
I was like, and your votes will still count. Count.
Oh, my God.
And it was really obvious.
To even try and fix it, eh? Makes it more obvious.
And then, or I can't remember, maybe I just moved on. I can't remember, but I remember Hayley Holt, who I adore. Yeah. The judges were in the background. It was like Hayley Holt, Candy Lane, and Stefano. And Hayley was like, her face is like, oh my God, she said gun. And then Candy, I don't think, realised what had happened. And then Stefano's like looks at his husband at the time, and the crowd is like, oh my God. And I don't think that Dom actually realized until afterwards. And so we come off and I was like, oh my God.
So is this in between an air break or is this at the end of the show?
This is live on the show.
Yeah, but no, but like, yeah, but so,
at the end, yeah. It was like the closing break.
Oh, okay.
So it was like one of the biggest moments of the show. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I start having a breakdown. I'm like, shit.
So the show's officially ended at this point. You don't have to go back on?
No, because at this time we would do that show and then we would record the elimination show straight after and the crowd would vote on who was going home.
Oh, so you're recording two shows?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
We don't do that anymore. Now both shows are live. And so I went backstage and I'm like, like crying.
Oh, no.
And I like text Shusty, my boss at the time. I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, you finally given me a shot and I just went on TV and said the C word. I'm so sorry. Like crying. And he was like, Sharon, you were quite clearly saying count. And they were really amazing about it. And I remember Dom coming past my dressing room and he was like, did you just say cunt? And I was like, yes, I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. He's like, ah! It was like so funny. And after that, that's kind of when we became friends.
Oh,
I think he was kind of like, aha, you're the cunt girl. but the thing, my mum is going to hate this podcast, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry for saying the C word so many times, mum, but it's imperative to the story.
Yeah.
But I always remember Pam Corkery coming up to me afterwards, because she was one of the celebs at the time.
Oh, yes. Pam Corkery, what is
politician?
She? Yeah, politician. Yes.
She's fabulous. Mm. And she came up to me and she said, after the show, because she knew I was really upset, and she was like, you've got two choices. One, you can laugh it off so that nobody can laugh at you. And if you just own it and be like, yeah, I did. I made a mistake. Mm. How hilarious. Then no one's got anything to say. But if you get really upset about it and get really worried about it and get really sensitive to it, people are just going to keep ripping you out. And I was like, oh, that's a really good point.
That's very good advice.
Yeah. And because she's like, I've been there before. And if it wasn't that conversation with Pam, I would have like been so humiliated and been really sensitive about it. But instead I was like, yep, here I am.
I'm the cunt girl.
That was me. And we got a viral moment for the show the next day, so that was fine. And the best part was that Jono and Ben's TV show was off air at that time.
Oh, God.
So I
kind of
got away relatively unscathed.
But was anybody annoyed? Was there any sort of backlash at all?
Nah, they were all really, really nice about it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they were all like, Sharon, you didn't go out there and purposely say it. Like, you slurred a word.
Yeah, yeah.
You were quite clearly trying to say count and it came out wrong.
Yeah.
They're like, don't worry about it. It's like, if you had gone out there and purposely said
is
it, different
make sure
story.
You vote your cunts.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, okay, well, that is an absolute relief. So, oh, yeah,
Jesus.
They were really good about it, but it was so humiliating.
But the fear. Fuck.
Oh, man. I
want to see this video because I just want to see your face once you say it.
I'm like. And it's also really funny to watch because at the time I have this like really heavy like black fringe, like straight black. Oh no, this is an amazing outfit actually. And I had this huge like hair extensions on. Like fake tan. I genuinely look like a Kardashian from Wish. Like when they very first came out though. Like not how they look now. Like I'm talking when they first came out it was, yeah, it's hilarious. Like you will laugh. I've got to find it.
Yeah, I've got to find this video.
Yeah, it's it was a fun time. Fun
Jesus
time.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah.
Well, before we go, I want to know, what have you learnt today?
What have I learnt today? Always give my husband the address of where my sons need to be dropped off. Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, that's a good point because I was just told it's on this street.
Yes, no, a specific address, and if there is a Google image, use the Google image. And I think also the other thing that I've learned is something I already knew, and it's about you, Jim, is that you are one of the funniest and most talented people that I know, and I genuinely adore you. And
was
very touched that you wanted me on the podcast. But seriously, I watch your, I always like see your like TikToks and stuff, and then I like go into Bryce. Like, did you see this TikTok that Jim's done? It's so funny. But you are genuinely one of the funniest people I know, and I cannot wait for the rest of the series of the podcast. And if people don't listen to it, then they are dumb.
Thank you, Sharon.
Amazing.
Oh, that's really fucking nice of you. Thank you so much, Sharon.
Well, I mean it.
What have I learned today? That you can get away with saying cunt on TV.
Only if you don't do it on purpose.
Yeah.
Or at least pretend you weren't saying it on purpose.
Yeah, that too. Anyway, thank you very much for tuning in. This is the first episode of a brand new season. More episodes will follow in weeks to come. If you want to follow me on Instagram, I'm Jim_Cawthorn. Give yourself a wee plug, Sharon.
It's Sharon with a Y, SHARYNKC. Just together, that's it. @ Sharon Casey. Very desperate. And
easy peasy.
Not as cool a content as Jim.
Anyway, thank you very much. We'll see you next time. Catch all the episodes on Rover, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Where else? I can't fucking remember this time. Anyway, see you. Bye. Hooroo. Zoop. Zoop.